I'm joined today by Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris, co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you tell me a little bit about what's coming up on Monday? I understand it's a Women's Moral March, and what do you look to achieve?
Yeah, so on Monday in Washington, D.C., gathering at the Supreme Court at 11 a.m., 100 women and hundreds of other witnesses will put out a statement, a declaration, about the importance of defending our democracy in this current moment. And we're doing this on the anniversary, on June 19th, the anniversary of the Seneca Falls Convention, where 100 women and men put forward a declaration of sentiment, talking about, you know, the need to defend democracy, expand suffrage, and to make sure that the society is organized around the needs and the demands of the people. And what we're seeing now with the passing of voting rights abridgment in 17 states, hundreds and hundreds of voting rights or kind of voter suppression legislation in 48 states, and with the failure of the Senate to pass the For the People Act yet, we're seeing a real attack on our democracy that we, some of the 140 million people who are poor and low income in this country, cannot stand for, because we're the people that are hurt first and worst by this attack on our democracy.
And this is a series of events you're doing throughout the summer. Can you tell me about
that? That's right. So this past Monday on July 12th, the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, along with more than a dozen national organizations, launched a season of moral direct action. Around these basic issues around voting rights and defending democracy and economic justice and the connection of those issues. So we started with a massive write-in and call-in on Monday. That's part of the stages of nonviolent civil disobedience, where you make sure that those who you're confronting and targeting, and in this case, it's the White House and the Senate and Congress, are aware of the demands. Tens of thousands of people, called in, wrote in, and let our senators know, let the White House know that this is that we mean business. Then on Monday, 100 women from all across the country and from dozens of different organizations will engage in nonviolent direct action at the Supreme Court in front of the Senate offices. On the 26th of July, in states and the Senate offices, the federal Senate offices in states, in at least 45 states across the country, will come together and kind of pose the question to senators in those states about where they stand on these four demands and are prepared to do nonviolent direct action, calling out the senators who are refusing to end the filibuster, refusing to pass all the provisions of the For the People Act, refusing, the Voting Rights Act, and refusing to raise the minimum wage. Then on August 2nd, mainly faith leaders, people of all faiths, and low-wage workers and poor people will converge again in Washington, D.C. for another massive nonviolent direct action. Before then, there'll be actions happening in other states across the country, including the Poor People's Campaign of Texas has called for more action in this season because our democracy depends on it.
All right. Another question I had was, so the child tax credits checks were sent out yesterday. What are your thoughts, and is this enough to help working families? Should they be permanent?
So they have to be permanent. It is a huge, great start. For the first time in a generation, we have poverty on the national agenda. And we have something as amazing as these child tax credits, that are not trying to pit people against each other, trying to decide who's deserving and who's undeserving, but saying that all young people and all families deserve some basic ability to make a living for themselves and to provide for all the needs that people have. And again, they must be made permanent because this pandemic that they're in part response to was preceded by grave inequality. There were 140 million people who were poor and low income before the pandemic started. Millions more have been thrust into poverty. There were 250,000 people dying every year in the richest country in the world from poverty and inequality. So a year of payments is not nearly enough to be able to actually kind of lift the load of poverty and inequality. And what we've seen in this pandemic is that this lie that this is as good as it gets and that we're living in a nation that just doesn't have enough to provide for its people is just that. It's a lie. The only scarcity we have is the scarcity of political will to actually address, the solutions that are at hand, the ideas that are already out there, things like the child tax credit, things like, raising the minimum wage, things like, expanded health care and so much more. So we celebrate the child tax credit, and we'll keep on organizing to both make that permanent and keeping it universal.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add that I missed?
I think the main thing I would want to just point out is that what's, I think, powerful about the action that's taking place on Monday and so many of the actions that the Poor People's Campaign is helping to organize in this moment is being led by those that are most impacted by systemic racism and poverty, by ecological devastation, by this militarization of our communities, and that what we see is that a powerful movement of people led by those who, in the words of a Fight for 15 worker from Virginia, whose backs are against the wall and all we can do is push, are the very people pushing for, saving the soul, saving the heart of this democracy. And so that's exciting. It's important. And it can be done.
All right. I just want to say thank you for joining us, and good luck on Monday.
Thank you so much.
All right. Okay.